If I sit for a while, then my impatience, crossness, frustration are indeed annihilated, and my sense of humor returns. It's a 10-minute walk to the brook. I cross the lawn and go through the willow tree, which splashes its fountain of green down onto the grass so that it's almost impossible to mow around it. If it's raining and I really need the brook badly, I go in my grandfather's old leather hunting coat and a strange yellow knitted hat from Ireland. One of my children, seeing me set off, asked, "Who do you think you are, Mother? Mrs. What's-it?" It's amazing what passing the half-century mark does to free one to be eccentric. When my hair gets wet, I look like a drowned ostrich, and I much prefer resembling an amiable myopic giraffe as I wade through the wet clover of the large pasture. It's already been hayed twice this summer. Does the neighboring farmer, who uses our pastures in addition to his own, hay clover? I was born in the middle of the asphalt island of Manhattan, and even nearly a decade of living in Crosswicks all year round has not made me conversant with bucolic terms. When Hugh and I bought the house the spring after we were married, we walked into a run-down place that hadn't been loved for years, and it opened its arms to us. And I saw cows in the pasture. They didn't look like cows to me. My idea of cows was from illustrations in children's books. After the pasture is traversed, I walk through a smaller pasture, which has been let go to seed because of all the rocks, and is now filled with thistles. Then there is a stone wall to be climbed. The only poison ivy around here grows on and by the stones of this wall, and I'm trying to kill it by smothering it with wet Sunday Timeses. My children have made me very aware of the danger of using chemical sprays. Perhaps I've discovered a new use for the New York Times. We also use it for the cats. I think the poison ivy is less flourishing than it was. At any rate, the New York Times is not going to unbalance the ecology. I love the ology words. Ology, the word about. Eco, man's dwelling place. The word about where man lives. Once I'm over the stone wall, the terrain changes. I step into a large field full of rocks left from glacial deposits. There are many ancient apple trees, which this summer are laden with fruit. From the stone wall to the brook takes two balls of twine. Unreliable eyes make my vision variable, and there are days when my string path is extremely helpful. Although, as my husband remarks, all anybody who wants to find your secret hideout needs to do is climb the stone wall and follow the string. That's all right. All secret places need to be shared occasionally. So the string guides me across a high ridge where there are large outcroppings of glacial stone, including our special star-watching rock. Then the path becomes full of tussocks and hummocks. My legs are etched by the thorns of blackberry brambles and wild roses. Earlier this summer, the laurel burst from snow into fire, and a few weeks later, we found a field of sweet wild strawberries. And then there are blueberry bushes, not very many, but a few, taller than I am, and to me, infinitely beautiful. The burning bush. Somehow I visualize it as much like one of these blueberry bushes. The bush burned, was alive with flame, and was not consumed. Why? Isn't it because, as a bush, it was perfect? It was exactly as a bush is meant to be. A bush certainly doesn't have the opportunity for prideful and selfish choices, for self-destruction that we human beings do. It is. It is a pure example of ontology. Ecology, ontology. The words fascinate me. Ontology is one of my son-in-law's favorite words, and I'm apt to get drunk on words, to go on jags. Ontology is my jag for this summer, and I'm grateful to Alan for it, as for so much else. Ontology, the word about the essence of things, the word about being. I go to the brook because I get out of being, out of the essential. So I'm not like the bush then. I put all my...